Bullying in New York public schools paying the ultimate price. The massacre in Vegas, it raises doubt amongst concert goers. In entertainment news, Tom Petty hangs on to life. Hugh Hefner is dead at 91, and SNL back to its old tricks. And later on tonight, we kick off our new series, College Life, with Kevin and Carlo. All that coming up next right here on The Concourse.
Here's what I found on the web for Define Formal Definition Concourse.
It has its ups and downs. I love it. I used to live on Clapham, and I used to pass by the concourse and always dreamed of coming, living here on the concourse. And then my dream finally came true.
The word concourse has a few distinct meanings. As a noun, one. A large gathering of people, two. A wide hallway in a building where people can walk, three. A coming together of people.
To me, it means family. It means good memories, bad memories.
Concourse means a large open area inside or in front of a public building, as in an airport or train station.
For the Bronx, Grand Concourse is the primary, traveling route.
Let me think. From three definitions of concourse, the first one is a large gathering of people.
And the concourse is every Monday night right here on thebronxjournal.com. Welcome to the concourse. It's a radio production done by the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Lehman College at City University of New York City. My name is Jim Carney. Each week we come to you with a collection of news, information, discussion, conversation about what's going on around the corner, around the block, and around the world. With students and faculty and people of interest of what's happening in our lives and around the world. And we talk about what's in the news, what's in entertainment, and what's on our minds. And tonight we start out with a lot that's been going on in the Bronx. One specific issue that unfortunately came back in the news this past week. It was a historic, unfortunately, in that it brought the Bronx back in the news in terms of death in New York public schools. Joining me to discuss that issue is Tristan. Tristan, what was the news story that unfortunately was historic, again, bringing the Bronx back in the news?
Yes. Well, according to a New York Times article, it was the student that attended a Bronx school in Mohegan Avenue in the Bronx, and he stabbed a 15-year-old victim, Matthew McGree, and according to the article, he was being bullied for being bisexual, and it's kind of like coming back to an old story of how bullying and how that actually affects students. And it causes them, because according to his life, his mom was saying, he's a quiet boy, he didn't really pertain to violence, he didn't really like start any trouble. Mm-hmm. And according to what they say, reporting, mm-hmm. the reporter said that it was a lot of things that kind of got to him, mm-hmm. that caused them to lash out.
And I do you think people really appreciate the problem that bullying is in schools, because there's been a lot of attention paid to the whole issue of bullying, and this once again brought up the whole question of bullying being a particular problem in schools.
Right. Well, to be honest with you, sir, I think bullying in schools is being overlooked, and I believe that a lot of people don't pay attention to it, because at the end of the day, I think we all think it's like all fun and jokes, when in reality it does affect some people that are quiet and doesn't know how to vent and how to handle stress. And I believe this is what happened to Mr. Cedeno. Like, he didn't know how to he was staying home playing video games. That was probably his outlet, but I think he had no other way to get rid of his stress. And it's unfortunate, but I believe that we can actually do. A lot of people don't pay attention to bullying, and we all have these campaigns, the anti-bullying, all these other things. Mm-hmm. But what are we actually doing? Like, I feel like we're not actually doing enough, and a lot of people are just putting it in the back of their minds when it's actually causing violence, mm-hmm. and it's not called for.
Mm-hmm. This particular school, too, which is in the central part of the Bronx, is adjacent to the Bronx Zoo.
Right.
And it was one of those schools that did not have metal detectors.
Right.
And as a result, that's why it did not pick up the knife that was used by the student who brought it back in. And unfortunately, immediately afterwards, they did bring the metal detectors in there.
Right.
And I think it brings back the whole question about the weapons in the schools. Did you go to public schools in the Bronx? In the New York City?
Yes, I did way back when I used to go to middle school.
Yeah.
However, I did switch. I can actually relate to Sir Daniel, because I was one of those kids that was bullied. And, you know, my parents did move me to a charter school because of that. Because of that fact. And, you know, fortunately, I grew up with good parenting, and, you know, they told me how to vent, if anything, if I had any issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had that. So I didn't really, like, stress about it. The one thing I do want to stress is that, like, make sure, like, I believe, you know, the school should have had metal detectors.
Metal detectors, right. And there should have been, I guess, somewhere for a student to go to talk about these type of issues.
Right.
And so a student didn't have to resort to violence. And this, it's a tragedy that the student now is a murderer, basically.
Right. And so his whole career at the age of 18, is everything is done for him because he decided to take another student's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate. And I think, you know, it's not that, you know, it's his fault that he resorted to violence. You know, it's never supposed to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like it was also according to the article, Mr. Sandaniel also had some mental difficulties, and they didn't want to go into further detail about it, but it seemed like he wasn't really, like, right in the mind. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that also kind of helped him go alongside the route for violence.
And now the question is whether or not he'll be tried as an adult, and what sort of question about whether mental illness will come into play, and whether or not how he will be tried, and the question about metal detectors in schools. And this is the first, I don't know if we have it in front of us right now, but this is the first killing in a New York City public school since I think the middle 90s.
Right.
And that's a long stretch. Without this sort of tragedy in the New York City school system. So, unfortunately, another historic tragedy in the New York City school systems.
Right.
So, violence in the New York City school system and violence in New York. And we're going to deal with a little more violence as we're coming to you live on Monday night on the 2nd of October. It's still unwinding what's happening across the United States with more violence in Las Vegas. And when we continue with the concourse, we're going to examine the question of what happened and is continuing to unwind with the tragedy in Las Vegas, with the largest mass shooting in the history of the United States, and how it may be changing people's opinions as to outdoor venues and how they enjoy their outdoor music. We'll continue with more of The Concourse. I'm Jim Carney. Thank you, Tristan, for joining me for this section of The Concourse, and we will resume with more of The Concourse right after this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo, and I love the fact that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else: childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. However, the Feeding America Nationwide network of food banks is able to help provide over 3 billion meals to children and families in need all across the country. Join me in the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's important to plan ahead for emergencies, like the storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan.
We were separated.
We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
And had no idea how to find each other. My husband kept the kids
tried
occupied.
Calling our son, but there was no reception. Everything was down.
I felt like
breaking down and crying, but I had to try and stay calm.
The whole experience
was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
It was kind of like a little family adventure.
Every mother hopes will never happen to her.
I remember the relief of being together.
I realized he was out there all alone.
If there's one piece of advice I offer other moms out there, it's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead, some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Visit nyc.gov/readyny or call 311. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues designed to help you help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything. Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And we are back at the Concourse. My name is Jim Carney. The Concourse is a production of the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Lehman College, City University of New York. Every Monday night, we come to you live from our studios at the beautiful Lehman College campus in the North Bronx. And we come to you on demand at thebronxjournal.com and on Monday nights and in our regular rotations on TuneIn Radio. And if you happen to be watching on Monday nights on FaceTime, if not FaceTime, Facebook. Facebook, all this newfangled technology. I don't know which camera we're on. Well, whatever camera we're on. This new technology, it's newfangled stuff. It's so confusing. Anyhow. Unfortunately, though, if you are joining us live on Monday night, the tragedy in Las Vegas is still unfolding. As of this point in time when we're live, it is the death toll is somewhere around 58 or 59.
Yeah, I think 59.
With
over 500
injured. Mm-hmm. Joining me for this conversation is Genesis and Juan from our news team. It is the by far, I think, the most tragic and the largest mass murder of in American history.
Yeah,
that is unfolding right now, and we won't get into the details now. There are other news organizations that are much better equipped to handle that, but. What we try to do every week is to try to get a feeling for what the pulse of the community is on what's happening in the news. Sometimes we're a little frivolous and sometimes serious, and this is definitely a serious issue. So what we did is we went across the college campus here. And what was the question that we went out and asked?
So we asked people if they felt safe after what happened in Las Vegas. And a lot of the people, they said that they didn't feel safe before what happened in Las Vegas.
Specifically in dealing with going out in a concert venue or in a...
Anything kind of involving large crowds.
In large crowds.
Large gatherings.
Right.
But most of the people, they were saying that they don't feel safe just in general, just because, like, in, for example, in New York, because of guns and things like that, and there was a lot of negative, a lot of fear in their responses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We can cut to...
Right, so the you spoke to a number of people. One young lady, I think, was indicative of some of that. Let's listen.
Gabriella.
Gabriella.
All right, so what's your name?
Gabrielle.
And just wanted to ask, how do you feel about the Las Vegas shooting and if you feel safe at outdoor event?
I think it was a very crazy... When I first heard about it, I was shocked, and it's very upsetting to know that so many people were hurt and killed, you know, over one person who just went crazy. And no, I actually do not feel safe at outdoor events, because who's to say that another crazy person isn't where I am? And, you know, God forbid, you know, so.
Okay, so she was pretty much indicative of a lot of the people you spoke to?
Yes, yes. A lot of the people we spoke to said there was care from before, regardless. So hasn't changed. Didn't make it better or more fearful. That was already in fear, I guess you would say.
Yeah, but there was one person who was, or a lot of, who could speak for the positive side of it. It's Officer Gonzalez on campus.
Yeah, CUNY officer.
Let's hear that.
Hey. What's your name, your first name?
My name is Sam Gonzalez.
Are you from the Bronx? Okay, so regarding what happened in Las Vegas, do you feel safe?
I feel safe. I feel pretty safe. I mean, those events are going to happen all over the world regardless. You can't let people like that stop you from living life. Mm-hmm. Those are random events. There's 365 days in a year. Unfortunately, we're going to have a few days where we have events like that. But I feel safe. I feel safe in the Bronx.
And, but he was not the... The norm. He was the exception to the rule.
Yes.
I asked him if, you know, if because he's an officer, he felt like he would be more safe. But he said, no, you know, he tries to encourage people that we shouldn't live in fear, because that's kind of the point of why these things happen, so that we live in fear.
I think we all kind of relate to him. I felt the same way. Not that I feel safe, cause I do feel like I'm in fear. But your life continues. You have to go to work. Us college students got to come to school. You can't just hide in your house for forever. So... You just got to deal with it. You know.
You also have to keep in mind that's his job, is to make
us
feel safe here on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be...
would be bad if he
says... It would not be good if he said that he didn't feel safe. And also, New York City is one of the safest big cities in the world when you think about crime rate. And despite what we talked about in the last segment in terms of that unfortunate situation in the schools... we were talking in our production meeting before the show today that had this been a different weekend, we would be paying attention to the murder rate in Chicago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because there were very unusual number of shootings and deaths by shooting in Chicago this weekend, but it was overshadowed by...
Chicago's a very dangerous place.
Chicago is a very dangerous place, and New York is not, and... Possibly because guns are not, I mean, there are guns in New York.
Yes.
There's no two ways about it. There are way too many guns, but compared to a lot of other major cities, New York is not.
Yes, and Chicago's
it's not that dangerous.
Way smaller.
Chicago's way smaller.
And, murder rate's way higher. That says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you guys feel safe?
I feel pretty safe. I've always been vigilant. I guess from where I grew up, you always go places and you always look around, see what kind of people are around you, what kind of characters are around you. But, you know, it wouldn't stop me from going places. I feel like whatever's going to happen is going to happen regardless.
I feel like New Yorkers in general, we're just very alert people, because we're always in a rush trying to, you know, avoid situations that we don't want to be in and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you as someone, and again, I'm tipping my hand here, it's to my age. I grew up in this neighborhood in the 70s. This is a much safer place now than it was then.
Yes.
And I went to school in this neighborhood. I went to school in Fordham, at Fordham Road. Mm-hmm. And even going to the restaurants in Arthur Avenue and walking around in those neighborhoods now, I tell my friends and everything, I said, this was not what it was like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And as a college student, I look around and I see all the college students and coming from Fordham and say, we would not do this.
Yeah.
We would not walk from the campus and come down to Arthur Avenue and go to the pizzerias and go to the restaurants and come down to the bars down here because it wasn't safe back in the 70s. And it's a much, being realistic, you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Yes.
You got to know where you're in, where you're out of place. And
yeah, exactly.
Where you belong and where you don't belong, but that's anywhere. But at the same time, it is a relatively safe city. But at the same time, do you guys go to concerts? Have you been to any of the festivals like in New York?
I've been to a couple of concerts, but they've been indoors.
Indoors, okay.
MSG, so you actually have to go through
metal detectors.
Yeah, mm-hmm. MSG. Like,
that's a big difference than a festival, which is outside.
Have you ever gone to Times Square on New Year's Eve?
No.
No.
That's only for tourists,
New Yorkers
don't
do that.
I'm not going to spend my New Year's 10, 11 hours in the cold. I'm good.
With so many people crowded. Yeah.
You see, I would never go there not because of being afraid of a sniper. I wouldn't go there because I don't want to stand there for 12 hours with
exactly.
No bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. You can't take a bag, I think, either. If you move, you lose your spot. It's too much
thing. Right. That's just crazy. Not for safety reasons, just for being crazy.
And the officer always gave us some good advice. He said, wherever you go, just be vigilant.
Right.
And he also mentioned the sounds of the gunshots.
Right.
Because people thought it was a
fireworks.
He said, if you hear that, even if it is, it's better to be safe ducking.
Yeah, because you don't hear that in New York in January. That's what he said.
Yeah, so duck and get out. So, and if it's not, then hey.
Yeah.
Thank God you come back.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think it's safe to say our prayers and thoughts are with the people of Las Vegas. And
very sad situation.
And maybe we're tough in New Yorkers, but... I think we feel a little bit tougher here in New York. And
way more alert, way more on top of what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad. It's just sad. You know,
it
people
is,
going to have a good time. And
it is really sad, yeah. But in any event, now the question arises again about gun control. And and how did this individual get a military weapon?
Yeah, and he had a lot of actual...
10 guns
firearms.
In the room.
Kind of like an arsenal almost. So
right.
It's a lot.
And a military automatic weapon, which no one is supposed to have. And
exactly.
That's a question for another day, though.
Yes.
And maybe we'll ask that question next week when we send you guys out again to ask our question of the day right here on the concourse. So, Genesis and Juan, thank you very much for... participating in this part of the concourse. Once again, my name is Jim Carney. This is the concourse coming to you from Lehman College in the Bronx, and we will continue with some lighter fare as we take a look at entertainment news right here at the concourse right after these messages.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car which, if you're buzzed,
6:08 to 9:10
could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzzed driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzzed driving, because buzzed driving is drunk driving.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When the unthinkable happens? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, and father of five. I'm also an expert on drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids, and there's silly drama like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
And lead the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Rock and roll, who is unfortunately,
there we go, unfortunately, as of our airtime on Monday night, is right now, as we are coming to you in critical condition. It's back and forth that he had passed away or is hanging on, but as of now, he is currently listed in critical condition from heart failure, from a heart attack. But he is only, I believe, 66 years old. And on that sad note, we lead into the entertainment section. I wanted to lead into that because he's from my generation of entertainer. But he is an amazing composer, an amazing performer, who recently just completed a tour a couple of weeks ago. I guess about a month ago, he absolutely filled the Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium out in Queens with an amazing concert. I didn't get to go to it, but a number of people I know did. And he just did an amazing show. And every once in a while, he pops on stage with other performers. And he is just a brilliant performer. And hopefully, he'll pull out of this, but it does not look good at this point. But Tom Petty in very critical condition at this point in time. So our prayers are with him, but we'll turn things over to hopefully a lighter, although we do have another passing away, although someone who, well, I'll leave that to you guys, to Sakwa and Leonitris and Elena. I didn't pronounce your name, Elena, did I? I try, so Eliana, I'm sorry. I try to pronounce the names right, and I never get it right. This is Jim Carney, I'm sorry, on the concourse, and the entertainment section. So, ladies, I will pass it over to you. What's going on in the world of entertainment?
Yes, so recently SNL premiered a new show on Saturday, and of course they received backlash. Michael For pronouncing his name. He basically called out Donald Trump for not responding fast enough to Puerto Rico, donating money to them so that way they could get things running and going. And basically, he called Donald Trump out because he was a Donald Trump found a way to help Texas and Florida immediately, but is constantly taking his time with Puerto Rico. And we have a clip on SNL.
After the mayor of San Juan criticized the government's Puerto Rican relief efforts, President Trump attacked her on Twitter, saying the mayor of San Juan, who was very complimentary only a few days ago, has now been told by the Democrats that you must be nasty to Trump. Oh, really, Donald? You bitch. Was she nasty to you? How nasty? Are you shaking? You want to go smoke a Virginia Slim until your hand stops moving? This isn't that complicated, man. It's hurricane relief. These people need help. You just did this for white people twice. Do the same thing. Go tell Melania to put on her flood heels, get some bottled water, some food, pack up some extra Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl t-shirts, and write them a check with our money, you cheap cracker.
Yes, so as you heard, he basically called Donald Trump out and used what people said is a very racial term, slur. So what do you ladies think? Did he go too far, or did he get the message out, or was he just being a comedian like everyone else does on SNL?
Being a comedian like everyone else does on SNL.
I think it was a little over the top. I have a reaction here from someone on Twitter, and they said, Michael Chi calls Trump a cracker and everyone loves it, but if someone dropped the N-word, then they would be fired. So me personally, I know if somebody called me the N-word, I'd probably be really upset about it. So, and he already called him the B-word, so it didn't make sense for him to call him a cracker. Like, you already insulted him, and unfortunately, he is the president, and I feel like he should have respected him.
I feel like respect is earned, not given, even though, yes, he is the president of the United States, but he hasn't shown any respect to anyone. He insulted the mayor of San Juan, so what's the point?
Right.
And plus, he didn't write the joke. Someone else wrote it, and he just, you know, elaborated, made it funny with humor.
Right.
So we're going to go into the next topic. TRL is back. As you guys may know, TRL stands for Total Request Live. It's countdown on music videos from MTV. It's live in Times Square. It first debuted in 1998 and ended in 2008. And then Liana will lead the way.
Their new host is Eric Zachary, Amy Pam, Lawrence Jackson, Tamara Dia, DC Young Fly.
Like DC Young Fly.
Yeah. He really paved the way. He is an Instagram comedian, and from there, his platform took him to TRL. Let's hope this show lasts and not go off with one season.
I'm excited about it because, you know, I used to watch it when it came on back in the day, and then they just cut it off. And it is a platform to show music videos because we don't have that now. And, you know, a lot of these songs that we listen to, we wouldn't even know they have music videos because we don't have it in front of our face. So for them to bring it back out, I think that's pretty dope.
Yeah, I think it is pretty cool that we can now see our own generation revamped what was in the past.
Right.
So let's hope and pray that this show lasts longer.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go into the whole thing about Hugh Hefner. Unfortunately, he passed away at 91 a couple of days ago. He was the businessman that was in charge of the Playboy magazine. I'm pretty sure everyone see them on the stands. You might glimpse on it, or you might pick one up to view a model that, you know, that might catch your eye. So what do you guys think about his passing? And what do you think his legacy would be besides the whole Playboy thing?
Well, he's kind of known for the Playboy thing. So, I mean, as far as me growing up, that's all I know about him is Playboy. Mm-hmm. So,
definitely. I don't know anything else about him.
Oh, you didn't know that he had a show on E! Called The Girls Next Door? I watch too much TV.
Maybe. I think so. I think it was Kendra Wilkinson on it. I know her from that. So, I didn't know he had a show. But mainly it was Playboy. Like, that's the only thing I knew him for. Other than that.
Okay. Right, so our last topic, The Slut Walk by Amber Rose. So recently, Amber Rose, she is Wiz Khalifa's baby mother. You probably know her as going out with Kanye West. She launched a movement called The Slut Walk, and basically it's about her empowering women to embrace their promiscuousness, if that's even a word. What do you guys think? Should the name be different? And what does it stand for? And what is, how does it represent? Does it represent you? Would you join the movement? Would you not join the movement?
Well, she says her mission is to deliver a flawlessly executed event geared towards raising awareness about sexual injustice and gender inequality. She says the aim is to impact and uplift the rape culture. I don't know why it's called the Slut Walk if you're trying to empower the rape culture. If it was to, you know, put an influence towards rape and, like, help rape victims, I would definitely partake. But since it's called the Slut Walk, it gives me another perception of, like, the event. Like, are we doing this to promote our promiscuous, or are we doing this for rape victims? It's kind of like...
contradicting.
Yeah. It's like, which one am I doing?
Yeah, I don't agree with this at all. I don't even know why she even made this up. Maybe she wants attention. I don't know. But this is, to me, in my opinion, this is very stupid.
I know she said when she was going out with Kanye, she got slut shamed a lot. So that's why she kind of started it. And then she even said while she was with Wiz Khalifa, she got name called too. But it's like the things you do on social media, mm-hmm. like twerking and stuff. How could you blame people for slut shaming you if you're doing stuff like that? Like, I have a daughter and I wouldn't let her do any of the things that she does on social media at all.
But it is sending a positive message out there for people.
In a sense, I guess.
Besides the name being a little bit controversial.
Oh, I guess. Well, that's it for today.
Okay, well, I'm not going to touch that last topic. What I will say about Hugh Hefner and the Playboy legacy is that you folks are way too young to know this, but in its heyday, there was an old joke that people used to read Playboy for the articles, which was the joke when people, men especially, would pick it up for the pictures and... Mm-hmm. say they read it for the articles, but the fact of the matter is that some of the greatest American authors and writers of the mid-20th century actually had articles that they wrote in Playboy, including Norman Mailer and other writers who would publish in Playboy, and they wouldn't be published anywhere else because they were too controversial. Wow. And Hugh Hefner actually would publish them in Playboy. So there is an entire volume of writing that there's a lot of people that have mixed feelings about Hugh Hefner. They think that he dehumanized women mm-hmm. because of the way that he used them as sexual, you know, playthings. But at the same time, he was a champion for the First Amendment and free speech, and that he forced the sexual revolution in the 1960s as well. So there's a lot of mixed feelings about what he did, and whether you like him or not, he pushed a lot of the sexual revolution in the 1960s. So there was a lot of mixed feelings about his passing. And a lot of people thought that the feminism movement in the 1960s was a little stuffy about all of the women's lib. Movement. And quite frankly, I'm very happy TRL is back.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm confused about is your generation doesn't watch TV, so why do you care?
Well, you could always watch TRL on the app. Could we always watch apps on our phone?
But it was the apps that killed TRL to begin with.
That's true.
And it was, so it'll be curious to see that if and actually TRL is after my generation anyhow, because I grew up with the original even I was before the original MTV. But the original MTV was just music videos, mm-hmm. and then TRL came around in the 90s. But it was YouTube and that sort of video that killed TRL. And now MTV is trying to bring back TRL. And it's going to be curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah, let's see.
So maybe you'll come back and talk about it next season and see how they do.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, Sakya and Leitrice. I see I'm blowing.
Leitrice.
And Saiqua. Okay. Say your own names.
Saiqua.
Leitrice.
And Liana.
Liana, thank you. And I'm Jim. I can do that one, I think. And this is The Concourse. And we will continue with a look at an up-and-coming fashion designer and an exclusive interview with him as he takes on the fashion world. As The Concourse continues right after this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo, and I love the fact that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. However, the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks is able to help provide over 3 billion meals to children and families in need all across the country. Join me in the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, and father of five. I'm also an expert on drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids, and there's silly drama like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
And lead the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-10-9-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back on The Concourse. I'm Jim Carney. The Concourse is a production of the Journalism and Media Studies. We changed our name over the summer, and I have to remember to keep using the new name, the Journalism and Media Studies Department. Part of the Arts and Humanities School at Lehman College, City University of New York, located in the beautiful North Bronx. And we come to you live on Monday nights on or about 8 o'clock or so from our campus here. And we bring you news, information, entertainment, and what's going on the block, around the corner, around the world. And what's on our minds. And sometimes that brings us to what's on our bodies, and that includes fashion. And that brings us to a fashion segment today. And joining me for this segment is Cherish. And you recently had an opportunity to catch up with an up-and-coming entrepreneur who, well, why don't you tell us, who did you meet up with?
Well, I met up with the old middle school friend, Ron O'Brien, and I just found out recently that he is an entrepreneur and starting his own clothing line called Foreplay, F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y.
Okay, and is it
Men's line, women's line, children? What kind of fashion is it?
It's casual fashion for men, women, and children. He just recently launched his children line, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and where did you meet up with him?
Well, he met me here.
Okay.
And the first question I asked him was, what made him want to start his own clothing line?
Okay.
A multitude of things, but one of the main things or main people who inspired me was my sister. I always wanted to, being a big brother, I always wanted to make sure that she had someone to look up to and someone who can guide her. And so I figured me starting something of my own would give her, like, hope or, you know, just inspire her to say, oh, I can do this too. Or I can do something, I can follow my own path type of thing. And so that was, like, one of the main things that told me, like, I should do this. Like,
starting your clothing line, you hosted your own, was it your own pop-up show that you hosted?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and how did that go?
That was out in Mount Vernon, and like, it was phenomenal, really. It was my first solo pop-up shop. The one prior to that was with other vendors, but this one, which happened in July 1st, July 1st, and just, I want to say, like, people from all boroughs, like, literally all boroughs came all the way to Mount Vernon, mm-hmm. and like, my mom was there, she took pictures, and my girlfriend at the time took pictures of all the attendants.
And just
looking back, and yeah, and I was like, I didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? I'm dealing with the money and the clothes and, you know, all the exchanges. And then just to see how many people, like, was actually there, it was like, wow, like, all of these people are, like, really supportive of my clothing brand.
When did you officially start your clothing line?
Officially started, actually, last year. I debuted it April 1st. In a pop-up shop.
And your first pop-up shop that you
were
in?
Yeah, right. And I was back at school at SUNY Oswego.
Okay.
And so, that was this past April made a full year. And I'm just waiting. You know, I'm waiting for the next one. Mm-hmm. I'm planning now of all the things that I want to release, like, during the month of April.
Next April?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a every April thing? Or how often do you do?
The pop-ups?
Or well, clothing line in general.
I don't really, like, put no time on it, no time stamp on it. It's just, like, whenever the pieces are ready, mm-hmm. kind of thing. I try to drop at least.
You just dropped, like, 2 weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
The
kids line, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dropped the kids line, those pieces were featured in Macy's Kids Fashion Show for Harlem Week. Back in August, and so I figured, you know, being that I had the momentum from that, I carry it over and drop the pieces, being that it's back to school and people like to buy shop for their kids. So I figured, you know, it was the perfect opportunity to get some exposure and carry that momentum on from that fashion show.
And you say you went to school for public relations and
graphic design.
And so after all of the pop-up shops, do you plan on making your own shop?
Online and the pop-up shops seem to be, like, the way right now, because in that way, like, I can have a pop-up shop in, like, Europe and, you know, just to get people the opportunity to see what I'm about. And so I figured, like, with the method of pop-up shops, it'll give me the opportunity to bounce around as opposed to, like, staying in one designated store. And being limited to that community where the store will be located, mm-hmm. I figured the pop-up shops will allow me to get more exposure. And then eventually I would, you know, get a store. But I figured, like, on the come up, I think the pop-up shops in different boroughs, different states would be the way to go for me.
Well, clearly you got some exposure because the whole scandal with Forever 21.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like, bizarre. So with that, I made a long sleeve, and I planned this last summer. I made a long sleeve shirt with old English font on it, and the long sleeve shirt was inspired by this group who was actually on my campus called Two and a Half, and they bring awareness to sexual assault and, you know, the whole idea of bringing that to an end and raising awareness for it. And so, I took the whole concept of how people blame females for what they're wearing, whether it be revealing or eye-catching, that's the reason why they become victims to sexual assault, which is, you know, that's complete BS. You know, that's not... So I flipped that, and what I did was I made a lime green shirt, and I chose that color specifically because it catches people's eye.
Yeah.
And so that was like the play on the whole revealing thing. But the flip on that was that it's long sleeve, so you can't see
anything,
you know? So it was like, yeah, so I did that. And then on the sleeves, going down the sleeves in Ogle English font, it said no means no on both. And then on the back, it said consent is everything four times. And then it had my logo underneath that. And so... I officially released it. I designed it last summer, summer of 2016. Then I released it November of 2016 during I actually collabed with Two and a Half over on my campus. And we did a skating event, and that was also like the debut of the shirts. And so, I fast forward to, I want to say it was around March or April, and I see someone sends me a snap.
Yeah, I saw the snap.
Yeah, someone sends me a snap, and it says, Forever 21 stealing your design, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, you know, it was a shocker, and then it was like, wait, that's literally the same color, long sleeve, same font, same placement. The only thing different was that, like, mine said no means no, and theirs said savage going down the sleeves. But they always use, like, some trendy language to put onto their clothes. And I was like, come on now, like. And I felt, like, offended because I seen other artists, and I know from experience where, like, I'm not giving credit for something.
Right.
And so I was offended at first, but then I had to, like, put it into like a positive. I had to reinforce it positively and say, like, you know, this is like a flattering thing, being that even though they're not gonna say, oh, they got this from me, other people who are aware and know of my brand, they know, like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, this is positive because this shows that I'm on the right track, that I'm actually doing something that will gain people's attention. So I just took it and said, like, I'm gonna just keep coming up with different concepts that'll push forth awareness for different things, and you know, just express my mind through my art, which is the clothes.
Yeah, because for some reason I thought that when I first saw the I saw the long sleeve shirt, so I thought that was your trademark, the no means no and stuff like that. So you do different types of...
Right, yeah. Okay. Like, for instance, like, right now I'm wearing an anti-bullying shirt. And, okay. Like, this inspiration was because my sister, growing up, she was bullied in different schools. And so...
we was bullied in school.
Right, yeah. Like, right. Like, so, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like a lot of people can relate to it. And then so, like, I feel like through clothes, a lot of people connect through clothes, but normally it's not through, like, clothes that bring awareness to issues. And so you, if you see something like anti-bullying or no means no, and somebody's wearing that, you're like, and you relate to that, you can, now you relate to them on a personal level.
Yeah.
Because of the meaning behind the garment. And so that's what I figured that would bring, like, a sense of unity in our community in that way.
Yeah, because we definitely do need unity in this community.
and also those are, like, issues that people are afraid to speak on.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, so just instead, you don't, also, you, like, you don't have to speak on it, but if you're comfortable enough wearing it and, you know, standing by it, I feel like that'll speak volume to other people who see it, you know? So that's just how I feel the brand will carry out, always be, it'll definitely, that's what makes me different. It'll definitely, like, be something that people can relate to on a personal level. Opposed to, I just want to wear this because it's this brand, or, you know, so, yeah.
And then if anybody wanted to purchase your brand, where would they be able to find it?
Please, please do. So my website is foreplayny.com. That's foreplayny.com. And the Instagram is the same, foreplay.ny. And the Facebook is the same as the website, New York spelled out. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And Cherish, who was that? What's his name again? Full name again?
His name is Ronald Bryant. His Facebook for his clothing line is Foreplay New York, spelled out Foreplay space New York, spelled out entirely New York. His Instagram is at foreplay.ny, foreplay.ny. And his online website for his clothing is www.foreplayny.com.
Okay. And I guess you can go on social media and like his clothes. And,
yes.
And go actually on our social media too and like us at the same time. And if you have any questions, by the way, you can come and ask us questions at our email account, which is, let's see, I got to make sure I got it right, concoursetbjradio@gmail.com. Any questions if you want to get in touch with him as well. And Cherish, you knew him in middle school?
Yes.
Did he strike you as the fashion executive, like the next Ralph Lauren or Perry Ellis or Sean John type character?
Well, I knew that he was always into drawing. That's how we met. Him and my god sister, like, they're both artists and they both drew. So it didn't strike me as surprising because he went, like he said, he went to school for graphic design, and the whole thing with public relations or public marketing, it goes into what he wants to do. So I'm really proud of him, and I just like to see everybody that I grew up with do something that they're really into. And I just loved his story, and the whole thing with Forever 21 stealing his article of clothing was really what popped into my attention, because who would think that somebody that I knew would get something stolen by Forever 21?
The ultimate, I guess, compliment is to have your stuff stolen by a big company like that. So now, is he going to make it?
I think he's made it so far. He just graduated. Like, he's fresh out of college, and he's doing a lot, and it's really not nerve-wracking, but it's really, it's coming full forth in a sense.
Okay, I got to check out some of his clothes. Maybe
I'm wearing one of his hats right now.
That's great. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So for those of you who are watching us on Facebook right now,
this is his hat.
Or you're watching the replay, you can check it out. Okay, Cherish, thank you very much for that interview.
You're welcome.
And again, check it out on his website or on ours. And we'll be back with a final word for this edition of The Concourse right after these messages.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When the unthinkable happens? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, and father of five. I'm also an expert on drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids, and there's silly drama like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having
having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
And lead the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, and father of five. I'm also an expert on drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids, and there's silly drama like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
And lead the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we are back. That just about does it for this edition of The Concourse. On the engineering board for this edition of The Concourse is Andre. This is your first time on the board.
Yes, sir. This is my first time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done. You pressed all the right buttons.
I got lucky.
More or less at the right time. Very well done. This is not an easy thing. This is kind of like playing a keyboard with mittens on. So you did an excellent job. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We did another edition of The Concourse. The Concourse is a production of the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Lehman College, City University of New York, here in the Bronx. We are a division of the Arts and Humanities School of Lehman College. Tom O'Hanlon is the chair of our department, and the Dean of Arts and Humanities is Deidre Petipies. Yves Dessous is the master puppet master and pulls all the strings behind all the equipment to make it work every week. I want to thank him for that. And I want to thank everyone on the team here, including Tavon Bennett, Sakia Blackshear, Beatrice Bullock, Tristan Chavez, Aisha DePay, Carlo Francisco, Brian Segovia, Ileana Gonzalez, Hector Guzman, Steve Hsu, Genesis Lara, Juan LeBron, Cherish McElhenley, Robinson Perez, Kevin Sangara, Andre. Andre, how do you pronounce your last name?
Schultz.
Schultz, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's German, but it's spelled Polish.
It's spelled Polish, okay. And Isabel Ventura Romero. My name? Last time I checked, the label on my underwear is Jim Carney. This is The Concourse. I want to thank everybody for joining us. You can check us out live on Monday nights here at Lehman College on TuneIn Radio, on thebronxjournal.com, and on demand on thebronxjournal.com on the Bronx Radio link. So let us know what you think of the show. You can reach us at our Gmail account at concoursetbjradio@gmail.com. Too many dots. concoursetbjradio@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. And you can like us on Facebook. And you can do all that other social media stuff that I don't know how to do. But check us out. Follow us. Not too closely, but follow us. And we will be back again next week. No, we won't be back again
next week.
It's Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, depending on what state you're in. But in any event, check out past editions, and we will be back again with a fresh edition of The Concourse in 2 weeks. So, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time around the block, around the corner, around The Concourse.